types of deal structures. This is Brock.
And this is John.
And so the question is, there are different types of deal structures. And what would you say, John, are the principal types?
Well, I think there are really three. There are all sorts of variations and they can get pretty complicated. But basically, you're talking about either buying assets, buying stock, or doing some kind of a merger transaction.
And who typically is the one person that, or persons that comes up with a deal structure for a particular deal?
It depends. I mean, if a lot of private company deals, the tax people get their hands on them, and you end up with tax being a driving force in structuring the transaction. If you're done with a public company, you're going to be doing a merger. The quickest way to do things, and a lot of times you'll find with private equity transactions, is you'll have a stock purchase with the private equity firm driving the bus, and maybe some shareholder representatives for the management shareholders that are in there. So it really all depends on what you're dealing with and the facts on the ground. If there's some things like, if there's liability issues out there, or if it's a corporate subsidiary, then you may well be dealing with an asset purchase, because people, they don't want to touch the liability that's out there, and it may be easier to separate the business from its corporate parent through selling assets as well. So, there are a lot of different considerations that come in to which structure you use and who drives the bus on it.
So let's drill down into those primary considerations for choosing a structure. I always think of them as tax, accounting, or type of consideration.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. And then also limitation of liability comes into play in asset deals. Public company buyers care an awful lot about accounting considerations and what the deal's going to do to reported earnings. So that's always a very big factor in those transactions. If you're a public company with a liquid stock that's trading at 30 times earnings, then you'd love to do a stock deal because your currency is really cheap. If you're a founder of a company with a low basis in your stock, you've had it for 30 years, you might like a tax-free deal. If you're an institutional investor, you probably don't want stock, because depending on what kind of fund you're in or you are, you might not even be able to hold it after the deal is done. If you're somebody that needs to get liquid, you may have a strong preference for cash. So, yeah, all of those things factor in into the equation. As I said before, on the private company side, with individual owners, the tax considerations often predominate, and then the public company side, it's much more the accounting, the reporting earnings, and again, most public company deals are going to be done through the merger format.
And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you start with one deal structure, and then people realize, oh, this other type might be preferable. How hard is it to change a deal structure once you're down the path?
It depends. From a documentation standpoint, the guts of most of these agreements, reps and warranties and indemnification provisions, there are going to be changes, depending on the structure, but a lot of it is going to be easily transferable. So it's not all that hard to change the documents to flip from a stock purchase to an asset deal or a merger. But if you start messing around with the entities involved in the transactions and let the tax lawyers get their hands on the deal, then God help you. I had a deal that I closed about a year ago. It literally took a couple of years to get done, because it started out as a plain vanilla asset purchase, and then folks focused on the fact that this company had a lot of NOLs, and they had a bunch of hoops they wanted to jump through to preserve them, but there'd been an awful lot of ownership change transactions, so doing it in any form through the existing corporate entities was going to be difficult. So they came up with an incredibly convoluted structure with LLCs and LLPs and all this to try and preserve the NOLs. And ultimately, it sort of fell apart in its own weight, and people sort of sat around for a year. And after the sufficient time had passed, so that the ownership change wasn't as big an issue, they did it in a much more conventional fashion.
So what's the easiest deal structure? Is there such a thing?
Well, I think that a stock purchase is probably the simplest of the three. There's no board involvement. There's no shareholder meeting to worry about. But that typically only works if you've got a small group or cohesive group of shareholders, or somebody that has done some pre-transaction planning, and you've got, if you have 20 or 30 shareholders, you've got somebody that's contractually been appointed to be a representative and can drag them along in a deal and that type of thing. And you do see that in the private equity setting quite a bit. So that's probably the easiest structure just to set up. I think, you know, public company mergers have their own charms, and there's an awful lot of, you get your deal signed up, and then you have the whole SEC process on the back end, and obviously any deal can be made complicated by antitrust issues or other ancillary issues. But I think just hypothetically, and what's the biggest, the most complicated one to of the three to do? I think it's an asset deal, simply because the mechanics can be such a pain in the neck. You know, if you're buying a company that has 100 trucks, well, you've got to transfer titles to 100 trucks, and that can be very complicated. Dealing with shared assets can be complicated. Making sure you don't get any successor liability issues can be very complicated. So, there's a lot to think about, a lot of moving pieces in an asset deal that are kind of subsumed by the structures in transactions where you're just buying stock and taking everything.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.